coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome to this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you've come to the right place. Hey, great show for you today. Today we are going to have Terry Johnson from Firearms Legal Protection, and we're going to be talking about two things. The first item is red flag laws. I know we've talked about that before, but the question is, how can you protect yourself legally from red flag laws? If some guy thinks you're crazy, maybe your ex-spouse or your neighbor or whatever, and they drop a dime on you and call the police, how can you get your guns back? How can you defend yourself when you have to prove that you're innocent? We're going to talk about that in one segment, and then the other segment, we're going to be talking about the Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act with Terry Johnson. So, great show today, but let's start out with what's going on in my life. I have recently, as in yesterday, just moved my broadcast studio from the garage, where there's very little ambient noise other than, you know, the chickens just outside the wall there, down into my basement. Why did I do that? The acoustics aren't quite as good down here, but you know what? Instead of 95 degrees, it's about 70, maybe 65. So I'm down here in my basement. It's a Michigan basement. Now, if you're not from Michigan, you know, you don't really know what that means. And basically what it means is it looks kind of yucky. It's a partial basement. Usually there's just enough for a root cellar, maybe the furnace, the hot water heater, that kind of stuff. And I remember when we first came to look at this house, we live in an old, old farmhouse. It was built in 1899. It has a stone foundation. And you can see by looking at all the load-bearing walls and things that it was built in about four separate passes. And I think back in those days, around the turn of the century, they would build a small house because that's what they could afford or that's all they needed. And then as they had children, they would add on to the house. And that's what they did with this house. So it's got, most of it is crawl space, but there's a small Michigan basement, probably about, 10 feet by maybe 20 feet, 10 by 20 feet. And that's where I'm at, surrounded by, you know, hot water heaters and dehumidifiers. And I remember the first time we saw this basement, I went down into the basement, just to look things over. And it was terrible. It was wet. It was damp. There were spider webs all over the place. And I was with my realtor, and he said, "You might not want to bring Sarah down here," because he knew I wanted this property in this house. There was a snake skin about 4 feet long, you know, and it was up in the rafters in the floor joist. And there were a couple of them, and, you know, some dead mice, and it was just bad. But, you know, if you have enough money to throw at problems, you can fix things. We totally waterproofed the basement since then. We cleaned it up quite a bit, put in the dehumidifier. It's not a bad basement now. So that's where I'm at, and I'm quite happy about that. Well, we made it back from our vacation all the way from the West Coast. I did end up actually carrying my gun in Oregon after speaking with my lawyer. That would be Terry Johnson from Firearms Legal Protection. So on the way out of Oregon, I bid them a fond adieu as I was armed. And we'll talk more about that in segments two and three with Terry Johnson. But garden is going well. We canned about 20 quarts of greens right now, kale and cabbage. That's the big thrust right now because it's already, we'll probably end up with about a 100, 120 quarts of greens before we're all done, before we move on to something else. Last night, Phoenix and I, my 9-year-old, he wanted to camp out on the deck so bad. And I've been putting them off and putting them off primarily because I don't like camping. I mean, when I was a kid, I liked it. But now it's just, it's just a pain in the butt. I like my own bed. I like sleeping in a nice soft bed. And we have a one-room air conditioner up there in our bedroom, and it's nice and cool. But I thought, hey, he's been asking and asking, and you're a dad, and he's your son. And so I felt guilty about not doing it, which I guess is justified. So finally, last night, I hauled a couple of twin mattresses out there on the deck, and I thought, we'll just sleep under the stars. There was no rain forecast. So we get out there, and we're sleeping, or just laying on the mattresses. And it's a different atmosphere. He said things and opened up in a way that he'd never ever done before, and it was just me and him. And he talked and he talked and just cute as a dickens. And we had a really good talk, for about 15 minutes. And then the mosquitoes came, and that's all we talked about was the mosquitoes. And they were landing and biting, and you could hear, it was a full moon last night, so it was nice and bright. You could almost see these mosquitoes coming. And after about a half hour of that, I said, okay, this is ridiculous. So I went in and I got some mosquito spray. I thought, I don't like this stuff, but I'll use it so, or else we'll be eaten alive. And it was made out of like lemongrass oil and citronella oil and, some other things, supposed to be green and all natural, right? So we sprayed it all over us. A nice heavy dose because I didn't want to be eaten by mosquitoes. And after about 2 minutes, it was like pepper spray. It burned and burned, and Phoenix started crying and screaming, "Get it off of me!" So I took him inside the house. I got him in the shower, and I could hear him in there praying and thanking Jesus for the pain to go away. But he was in the shower for 10 or 15 minutes before all of that oil got off of him. And in the meantime, my face is just burning because I'm waiting to use the shower. It really was quite similar to pepper spray. I've had pepper spray on my face before, and it was nasty. This wasn't as bad as that, but it was bad. And so, we got it all off, and then we went outside again, laid down, we start talking again. And then it wasn't 5 minutes, the mosquitoes came back. And long story short, we lasted about 15 more minutes, and then we went inside and ended up sleeping inside. So tonight we're going to try it again, this time with a tent. And before we go in there, I will spray it down with Raid or something to make sure there's no bugs in there because I do not want to be eaten. It's bad enough, getting, with a bad back sleeping on a hard surface like that, but it's for my kids. I do what I can do. All right. That was a long story. In the news now, sometimes I like to check out the local news here. I live in Podunk Hollow, right? I mean, out in the middle of nowhere where nothing bad ever happens, except when something bad happens. And here's the front page of the Allegan County News, and the headline reads, FBI and police hunt sex trafficking ring in Wayland. Folks, Wayland is a 14-minute drive from my house. It's just down the road. Wayland police said they executed a search warrant Monday, July 1, looking for evidence in a case they called a suspected sex trafficking ring and drug crimes in the city. Police executed the warrant about 7 p.m. in the 600 block of East Maple Street in an investigation that began in October 2018 and involved suspected crimes going back to 2017. State police and FBI personnel also assisted Wayland police. You know, and if you don't know what Wayland is, which, you know, you probably don't unless you live there, because it's only, I don't know, maybe 3,000 people. It's small. There are no bad parts of town because the town isn't that big, and it's a good neighborhood. This is a good neighborhood, and they had a sex trafficking ring there. Where are these people coming from? You know, some of them are local. Some are coming from the larger cities. Just 20, 25 minutes north of Wayland is Grand Rapids, the second largest city in Michigan. So, you know, it's just there are different levels of safety, but there is no real total complete safety in America. It just seems like America's going to hell in a handbasket. And why? Because our culture is going to hell in a handbasket. I want to preach to you, okay, but that's basically the way that it is. You know, last month we had carjackings right here in Martin, a population of about, what, maybe 300 people shooting at each other. 4 miles away in Orangeville, where I grew up, you know, there was a double homicide, a double murder. So you are not safe. That's why I carry a gun. You know, and then you can go to Berry County, right? I mean, that's Allegan County. Here's Berry County. This is the Berry County Reminder. That's a free paper that comes out every month, right? This headline reads, Opioid Death Rate on the Rise in Michigan. About every 5 hours, a Michigan resident dies by suicide. Fatal drug overdoses happen even more frequently. I know there's a lot of methamphetamines out there, just all kinds of bad drugs. New research by the University of Michigan suggests an upsurge in opioid overdoses and suicides may be linked. No kidding. This finding suggests that public health specialists may need to re-examine their approach to policies intended to prevent such tragedies. Unlike other common causes of death, overdose and suicide deaths have increased over the last 15 years in the United States. Amy Bonnert, Associate Professor of Psychiatry at U of M Medical School, told Bridge in an interview. Both outcomes share factors that increase risk for each and support the idea that they are related problems and blah, 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 blah. Okay, and I don't want to read this whole thing. Okay, obviously suicides are on the rise, drug use is on the rise. And I read this one quote from Ron Samarian. He's the chief of psychiatry at Beaumont Hospital in Royal Oak. He says, drugs and alcohol use and access to guns are a lethal combination. And, you know, when I first read that yesterday, I thought, you know, he's just another liberal. He's down on guns. He wants to get rid of guns. But then the more I thought about it, if you take that quote for exactly what he said and don't read anything into it, he's right. Drugs, alcohol use, and access to guns are a lethal combination. They really are. I mean, we preach about that all the time, right? Hey, if you're going to have guns, don't do drugs. If you're going to have guns, don't drink alcohol. Alcohol and guns, drugs and guns, they don't mix. They really are a lethal combination. Now, what this guy's politics are, I don't know. I don't know if he's anti-gun or, you know, whatever. But I think when you talk about suicide and drug use, why do people do that? Why do people take drugs? There's probably 100 different reasons that I don't even know about, but do you think maybe they take drugs to get happy, to take away their pain, because they're not happy with their life? So they want to fix it, right? I think it used to be decades ago, if you weren't happy with your life, you took responsibility for that and you made a change. Now you pop a pill or inject a drug or smoke a drug and you get happy that way. But that's a temporary fix. If you have an unhappy life, you're doing something wrong. And you do have some element of control over that. If you're with a bad spouse, you get out. If someone's beating you, you get out. If someone's crazy and they're driving you nuts, then you get out. You have to make a change. When you let crazy people into your life gets crazy. And suicide. Why do people commit suicide? Well, it's not because of a gun. That's just a tool that, makes it easier, makes it more successful. People commit suicide because they don't want to live anymore, because life has no meaning. Life has no purpose for them because life is painful and they're brittle people and they can't handle it. Folks, we didn't used to be this way as a country. America did not used to be this brittle, this sensitive. Everyone gets offended every single day. Everyone's being told that you need to be offended by something, that you are a victim, that you don't have any control. And that's just not true. You can control how you respond to what happens to you. You can't control other people, but you can control yourself. If you're not happy, figure it out. For me, without going into a lot of preaching, for me, it's my faith in God, family, and country. I believe that I was created by God in the image of God, and that makes me important, intrinsically important, and it gives me self-worth. My relationship with God, with a creator, with a savior, Jesus Christ, who died for my sins. If I'm worth that, then I'm worth a lot, and I'm not going to give up on that gift of life. All right, enough preaching. Opioid death rate on the rise in Michigan and all over the United States. Hey, don't do drugs. If you're not happy, find out how to get happy. But drugs is not the answer, and certainly blowing your head off, that's not the answer either. Okay, well, we are out of time for this segment. I guess I rambled a little bit. Hey, if you got any questions, just email me at skipcoriel@hotmail.com, skipcoriel@hotmail.com. Ask me about the meaning of life, and I will tell you, or better yet, just read my books, and you'll know everything that's in my brain already. Okay, we got a 2-minute break. While we are away, go ahead and check out our sponsors, Farms Legal Protection, and find out how they can protect you against the criminal justice system, should you have to use your gun for self-defense. And then also check out Center Shot Indoor Gun Range in Door, Michigan, centershotgunrange.com, Center Shot Indoor Gun Range, where it's always a perfect 70 degrees. When we come back, we will have Terry Johnson, attorney from Firearms Legal Protection. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coriel. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country. Go to publishyourdream.com today. Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, The Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step, It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 19 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get civilian combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel. Would you like to take your tactical and marksmanship training to the next level? If the answer is yes, you need to check out Center Shot Indoor Gun Range just south of Grand Rapids, conveniently located off US 131. Center Shot is one of the most advanced firing ranges in Michigan. Center Shot firing lanes have nearly 100 customizable shooting programs to make you better no matter what your skill level. Our advanced lanes allow a more immersive training experience to enhance your senses. Controlled lighting and target movement mean that you get the best practice and most fun out of Center Shot Indoor Gun Range. Memberships are available for as low as $150. Center Shot also offers a 10% discount to U.S. military veterans. So, no matter what the weather, hot, cold, or in between, Center Shot Indoor Gun Range is always a perfect 70 degrees. This is where I train every week, and so should you. Find out more by going to CenterShotGunRange.com or call them at 616-371-7468. Stay safe, and I'll see you at Center Shot Indoor Gun Range.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. You know, last week we talked about LEOSA, HR 218, and my being in Oregon. And, you know, I got a call from one of our listeners, Terry Johnson from Firearms Legal Protection. And you gave me some good inside information. Terry, welcome to the Home Defense.
Hey, Skip, it is always my pleasure to talk to you and your listeners. It's a great experience. Thank you for having me on.
All right, no problem. Now, Terry, you know, first before we get into this, talk briefly about FLP, what you do for them, and what FLP does, you know, for...
Excited and privileged to be part of the Home Defense Show. I am with Firearms Legal Protection. What we do is provide legal protection for anyone that's a member of ours that has to use, you know, a legal weapon in order to defend themselves or defend others. So if you do that, you call us. Firearms Legal Protection takes care of all of your attorney's fees, and we pay them up front. It's not like, let's say, insurance. You know, there's a couple of states we are insurance, but not, you know, I'd say the majority of them were not. But the way it works is you call us, we dispatch a local attorney to you. We take care of all legal fees. Some places we take care of bond and other things, and you never have to spend a dime on an attorney. And if you happen to get sued as a result of this, we also take care of that as well. So that's what Firearms Legal Protection does. And Skip, am I allowed to talk about a brand new benefit that we're adding?
You know, actually, I saw that email from you, Terry, and I'm excited about that. So tell people about this new benefit.
Thanks. Well, you know, Skip, a couple of months ago, you had me on your show, and we talked about Red Flag. And for your listeners who may not have heard it or, you know, don't know what that is basically when the government comes, they take your guns first because someone has deemed you a threat to yourself or others. And after they take your guns, they give you a quick hearing. And in that hearing, the burden is on you to prove that you're not a threat to yourself or others. Now, this is a lot different from anything else that's out there because, again, the burden of proof shifts. There is no due process or anything along those lines. Some states, as opposed to Red Flag, it's called Extreme Risk Protection Order. Mm-hmm. And as you know, they're growing all across the country. Right now, there are about 16 states that have it, and it's pending in about another 20 or so. So it may be coming to a place near you soon. What Firearms Legal Protection is doing, as of the time of this broadcast, we are the only self-defense company that will protect you for an issue involving red flag, and it comes at no additional charge to our members. So if something happens and, you know, the police come with a warrant or they, you know, come in and take your guns and you have to have a hearing after as it relates to an extreme risk protection order, guess what? Our members at Firearms Legal Protection will be covered.
Well, Terry, that is great. You know, when I was reading more about that, I noticed that some of the states, you know, when you have that hearing after they take your guns, you know, the person that said you were, that accused you of being, you know, insane or dangerous or whatever, they get public counsel for free, and you have to pay for your own to try and get your own guns back that wrongly taken. Is that a good summation or not?
Very close. What happens is your prosecutor, whether it's your city attorney or your state's attorney, whomever in your jurisdiction, will come out and they will represent either the family member, law enforcement, or, you know, the medical professional who's saying, you know, Skip Coriel is a threat to himself or others. So get the legal expertise to handle that. And Skip Coriel doesn't. So if Skip wants some legal representation, unlike in criminal court where, you know, if you can't afford one, one will be appointed for you, you don't get that option. So you've got to come out of pocket. So Firearms Legal Protection, again, we understand the theory behind red flag, and I want to make sure we all understand no one wants guns in the wrong hands.
Right.
Our position is the way this law is being executed is really the problem. You know, it's taking due process away from not, you know, from all Americans, and that's just not the proper way to do it.
Yeah. Well, is it being applied differently in different states, or is it the same across the board?
It is being applied differently in different states. You know, so for example, I believe Indiana, as example, they don't need a warrant. The police can just go and take your guns and then go to the judge and give the reasons why they did certain things. So, you know, the petitioner, and let's say it's a member of your family, you know, they can say Skip is a problem. He's, you know, a threat to himself or others. They would have to go and petition the court in order to have someone sign off on this. So, again, it's a little different from state to state, but the practice and theory behind it all is all the same.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't sound good to me. We're speaking with Terry Johnson from Firearms Legal Protection. Terry, it sounds to me like there's not a whole lot of due process at all. Someone could just, you know, knock on your door or break the door down, come in and, you know, throw you down and then subdue you while they take your guns. Is that an extreme? Could that really happen?
Well, that does happen, and it's happened in several states. You know, Maryland comes to mind. Indiana comes to mind. You know, and again, the issue is we see someone that has mental issues or is a threat to themselves or others. This law is supposed to protect, quote unquote, the general public. However, Skip, you know as well as I do, in certain situations, people are going to use this to come after gun owners. And the moment they do, the gun owners have got to be protected. In normal cases, what would happen is, you know, and I'll use this as a personal protection order, restraining order, whatever it's called in the jurisdiction that you're listening. If something's going on, and, you know, Skip's bothering me or he's threatened me, I get to go to court. And once I get to court, you know, Skip will be told at that point, hey, we're going to, you know, you're going to have to stay away from Terry until we have a hearing. But notice, none of Skip's property or anything has been taken away. Under extreme risk protection order or red flag, they take the guns first. So there is no due process. And here's the other part of this that a lot of people don't understand. The burden shifts. So in the case where I've accused Skip of doing something, and I'm asking for a personal protection order so Skip won't bother me, I have to go to court and show why. I have to give the judge, you know, Skip did this on this date, here's letters, here's pictures, et cetera, and the judge makes a determination. Under red flag or extreme risk protection order, it's just the opposite. So it's not on, let's say, your family member or the law enforcement to show that you're not a threat to yourself or others. It's on me to show that I'm not the threat, okay, as opposed to them showing I am a threat. And how do you disprove a negative,
yes.
You know? I mean, Skip, tell me how you're yes. not a threat to somebody, Skip.
You know, that's like someone asking you, have you stopped beating your wife yet? That's just not right. And how do you defend against that? I don't know how you could even do that.
Especially in a process where, you know, you don't know how this works, okay?
Yeah.
The other side's represented by an attorney, and we want to make sure that if any of our members find themselves on the wrong side of a red flag issue, we want them to know the Firearms Legal Protection is there to help you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that is just fantastic, because the average person, number one, they don't understand the danger in extreme risk protection orders. You know, most of the people, they're good people. They have a basic understanding of the law, but nothing detailed. And people always want to give, the law the benefit of the doubt, which is probably a normal thing to do. You know, people like to think that, all right, the people in government, the people who are over me, the people who can arrest me and throw me in jail, they mean well. And I think by and large, they do. But there are just some times when you have to be protected against people who they might mean well, but it doesn't work out for the average gun owner. Well, Terry, what are some of the states that where gun owners really are in the most danger?
Skip, you just left several of them out west. You know, you've got your West Coast branch of the East Coast, I call it. You know, California, Oregon, and Washington.
Mm-hmm.
You get red flag down in Florida. You've got red flag in Illinois. Indiana, believe it or not, is a red flag state. And you move east, you know, the big ones of New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, et cetera. But I will tell you, the interesting thing, I kind of like what Maine, I believe it was the state of Maine, did. You know, they were contemplating a red flag law, and someone, just in his brilliance, I'm not even sure of the person's name, he's a legislator, he said, well, instead of taking the guns away from the person, if this person is a threat to himself or others, why don't we take the person away from the guns? And let's take the person and let maybe, you know, do we need to institutionalize him or check up on him or her that way? And to me, that's really the smart way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. But there would be due process in I'm talking about in Maine now, I suppose. I wouldn't want the police to just show up at my door with a no-knock raid and handcuff me and take me to a mental institution. I mean,
no, I agree with that. And there's got to be, and here's the difference there. In that situation, you know, you're going to have hearings, and they're just not going to, you know, commit you unless you are in the middle of an act. So, for example, you know, if I am on the street and I'm professing to be Batman, and I'm attempting to fly, you know, by trying to jump off a building. Well, at that point, the police kind of have they kind of have, let's say, probable cause to say, hey, this person may have some issues and let's do something about it. But coming into my house for an incident that's happened after makes it a lot more difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess if you're professing to be Batman and you're trying to fly, that's in law enforcement, we call that a clue.
Yes.
But, you know, I guess what scares me is how fast these laws are traveling around the country. It's almost like it's politically incorrect to say anything negative about red flag laws, you know, because they immediately say, well, oh, you don't care about innocent people, or you don't care about, you know, domestic violence victims, or things like this. And in my mind, that's not really the point. The point for me is, in a situation like this, I'm guilty until proven innocent. And it is very difficult to prove that you didn't do something.
Well, it is. And you know, the burden of proof is always, you know, think about it, all through the criminal court system, you're cloaked with the presumption of innocence.
Yeah.
Okay. From the time you're arraigned all the way until a verdict comes back or you plea, you are cloaked that presumption of innocence. Mm. In this particular case, while it's not criminal or civil, I like to call it quasi-criminal,
yeah.
In this type of application, the burden is actually on you. And, I mean, I can't think of another situation where the burden has completely shifted. I mean, even in a civil case, if I sue you, Skip, for putting on a bad radio show, you know, which we know would never
right.
happen, but if I sue you for that, I have a burden to go before the court and say, well, on this particular date, Skip has said this, and, you know, his show is doing this, and nobody's listening, et cetera, et cetera. The burden's on me. But how would Skip Coriel defend the fact that he doesn't have a bad radio show?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the only time I've ever seen the burden of proof shift, and it is very dangerous. And you know what else, Skip? If you look across the country, as I mentioned, there are 21 states that are pending. And guess which one? Guess what a state that's pending is currently? Take a wild guess.
I hope it's not Michigan.
Your home state of Michigan. It is pending in legislation right now.
Yeah.
So, and you're right. It's really the way it's approached, with people saying things along, well, how could you not? And as we at Firearms Legal have said, you know, our position is, while we understand the theory behind the law, it's the way that it's executed that
yeah.
gives us great concern.
Absolutely. And the package,
we have three packages.
Package
we have obviously
protection.
Our basic, we have our premium and our family. And in any of those packages, guess what? Red flag is part of it. So you don't pay any extra. And here's the other thing a lot of people don't
That's
realize.
Awesome.
It's not just for concealed.
That is awesome.
Folks that have a concealed permit. If you get caught on the wrong side of red flag, let's just say you're a hunter. Guess what? They take all those guns away from you as well. So it could
yeah.
be. It could be.
That can be a lot of money. All right. Okay. Well, Terry, we're about out of time for this segment. I appreciate very much your expertise. I'd like to have you back in the next segment and talk about the Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act.
I sure can.
So
it's
can
you
stick
make sure you tell your members, you know, to go sign up for firearms legal protection.
Oh, you've got it. You've got it. All right, folks. We've got a 2-minute break coming up. When we come back, we'll be speaking again with Terry Johnson from Firearms Legal Protection. While you are away, go ahead and check out our sponsors, Firearms Legal Protection. Go to firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical. And also check out Center Shot Gun Range, centershotgunrange.com. This is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
This is Phoenix Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 19 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book, by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend. Visit firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and protect your family now.
Would you like to take your tactical and marksmanship training to the next level? If the answer is yes, you need to check out Center Shot Indoor Gun Range just south of Grand Rapids, conveniently located off US 131. Center Shot is one of the most advanced firing ranges in Michigan. Center Shot firing lanes have nearly 100 customizable shooting programs to make you better no matter what your skill level. Our advanced lanes allow a more immersive training experience to enhance your senses. Controlled lighting and target movement mean that you get the best practice and most fun out of Center Shot Indoor Gun Range. Memberships are available for as low as $150. Center Shot also offers a 10% discount to U.S. military veterans. So, no matter what the weather, hot, cold, or in between, Center Shot Indoor Gun Range is always a perfect 70 degrees. This is where I train every week, and so should you. Find out more by going to CenterShotGunRange.com or call them at 616-371-7468. Stay safe, and I'll see you at Center Shot Indoor Gun Range. Hey folks, I want to tell you about my new book, Concealed Carry for Christians. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and your family, and that includes people of faith. Our churches are not as safe as they used to be, and that's why I included chapters on forming church safety teams and stopping mass shooters. You can get Concealed Carry for Christians real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Concealed Carry for Christians, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Concealed Carry for Christians by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. Today, we are speaking with Terry Johnson from Firearms Legal Protection. Last segment, we talked about red flag laws and how Firearms Legal Protection can protect you if you're ever accused of something like that. But now, you know, Terry, I just came back from the West Coast, the left coast. I was on the Pacific Ocean there in Newport, Oregon. And I was disarmed because, you know, Oregon doesn't have reciprocity with any other state. I didn't really know if I was covered by LEOSA. But before we get into that, will you please explain to our listeners what exactly LEOSA is and what it does?
Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act was a law that came into place, I believe 2001, 2002, right in that time frame. What the intent behind it was to make sure that America was safe. And one of the best ways that that Congress and President George W. Bush at the time thought would be to have law enforcement officers carry their firearms concealed anywhere across the country. Prior to that, you know, if you're a Michigan law enforcement officer and you went into Indiana, you weren't necessarily covered. You know, even, you know, go back prior to concealed pistol licenses and things like that. Mm-hmm. LEOSA basically came up with a standard for law enforcement officers across the country, and it allows them to carry their firearm concealed. And there are a few restrictions to it and a few things you need to do to qualify. But the theory behind it is better protection for us folks across the country through law enforcement.
Well, okay, what exactly are the requirements?
Well, there's a couple of things. The first thing is you've got to be what's known. Under the statute, you have to fall into what's called a qualified law enforcement officer. And that's basically someone that's authorized to engage in, supervise, and the protection, detection, investigation, prosecution, incarceration of someone for any violation of law and has statutory powers of arrest or apprehension. Now, this is a big one that a lot of people say, you know, for example, I believe you're a deputy reserve. Now, as in that position,
correct, yes.
The question becomes, do you have these any of these powers? And, of course, you know, you can supervise, prevent, detect, investigate, you know, whatever direction you're given. But a lot of people fall down when it comes to the statutory powers of arrest. Now, because this law was written in such a broad way to make sure that law enforcement officers across the country fall into this, this particular part, people have said, well, what about reserve officers? They don't have statutory powers of arrest. Well, you take a state like Michigan. Michigan actually has, as a person, you do have statutory powers of arrest. So you can do it either at the direction of a peace officer. You can do it on your own because, again, under Michigan statute, you have the ability to do that. And a lot of people try to say you don't have arrest powers. In the state of Michigan, you do. Some other states is given to regular officers and reserve officers. And there's a few other things I just want to touch on in there as well. You have to be authorized by that agency to carry a firearm, okay? Even though you may not carry it on your daily duties, mm-hmm. as long as you're authorized to carry a firearm. And like we've got Coast Guard reservists who actually are authorized to carry a firearm, and a few cases have gone to court regarding that. But as long as you're authorized to carry a firearm, you can't be the subject of any disciplinary action or anything along those lines while you're carrying it. When I say disciplinary actions, anything that would cause you to lose your police power. So if you're suspended or, you know, facing something pretty critical, you won't be able to carry under LEOSA. Three other things. One, you got to meet any standards that that agency has set up to qualify for the use of a firearm. So, for example, if your agency says you got to shoot three shots and hit the target at 20 yards, as long as you meet that qualification, great. Some agencies don't have qualifications, and that's fine too, because the statute says if any at all. Obviously, you can't be under the influence of any alcohol or intoxicating drug, and you cannot be prohibited from receiving a firearm federally. So a lot of people get this confused. They say, okay, so if I have a felony, and it's not necessarily a felony. What that means is any crime where the punishment is more than a year. As you know, some states have crimes where that are misdemeanors where the punishment is beyond a year. So the statute doesn't say felony or misdemeanor, just talks about any crime where the punishment is longer than a year. So those are the qualifications of LEOSA. That, along with one other thing, as long as you have a photographic ID issued by that agency saying that, you know, you are employed as an officer or law enforcement officer of that agency, you would qualify under LEOSA. Just that simple.
Terry, is there like an age requirement?
There's no age requirement. The things you have to be careful and have to understand, under LEOSA, you actually have the opportunity to carry all across the country. There are a few places you can't carry. I want to make sure everybody understands that. You know, the pistol free zones that the state puts in place, you are exempt from those. So if you are in, let's say, Illinois, you are exempt from their pistol free zones. However, the places that it doesn't apply would be private property, because they want to make sure that the private property, like, for example, some places, I'll use McDonald's as an example. If you are in Illinois and you go to McDonald's and you see a sign that says no guns, you're not allowed to carry your firearm there, even though you are qualified under LEOSA, because that's considered private property. Well, what about a bar? Well, if the bar falls under LEOSA, then therefore you would be able to carry in that particular situation. The other one people really need to be careful about is schools. Schools do not qualify. You have to get into the Gun-Free School Zone Act and really understand the interplay between the two. But for the most part, schools do not count under LEOSA. Magazine. You can carry whatever gun you want to carry as long as it's concealed. But magazine capacity does matter. So, for example, if you're in California and the state has a magazine capacity of 10, you can't carry a magazine larger than 10 rounds.
Okay. Do California police officers carry high capacity magazines?
But they are exempt under California law from doing that, and it doesn't apply to the firearm.
I'd certainly hope that they do. Okay. Well, Terry, let me see. A couple of questions here. All right. We've mentioned reserve officers. I assume that also would mean like posse, auxiliary members, things like that. Would it also include like court officers, like judges, probation officers, parole officers?
Great question. Judges, probably not. And the reason I say that is they don't have, they're not authorized by the state to carry a firearm, okay? Probation officers, if they're authorized to carry a firearm and they've got their employee ID and they are, I'm looking at the, you know, they do have the power to incarcerate people. They could be someone that would fall under the LEOSA Act. Posses, corrections, yes. And here's the funny thing. Are the people in corrections authorized to carry a gun? I think the answer to that would be yes. You had a lot of correction officers that don't carry on duty because they may work in a correction facility, but they would fall under that as well.
All right. Well, Terry, let's say I'm in one of these, we'll call them, unfriendly states, right? I'm in Connecticut or Oregon or California, and I'm carrying under LEOSA. I've got my my sheriff's ID, and I've got my handgun with correct magazine capacity, and I'm pulled over. They ask me if there are any firearms. I truthfully say, yes, sir, there are. And they arrest me anyways.
Great question. If you get arrested, your defense really falls under federal law. A lot of people don't know that. I mean, I just heard of a situation in Ohio where a reserve officer was pulled over, and I think the Ohio police said, well, this doesn't apply to you. Well, that's not your job, what applies and what doesn't apply. It's up to a judge to tell me that. But, you know, it is a federal statute, and a lot of people aren't aware of it. New York and New Jersey, they're a little different, as I'm sure many of your listeners are aware. They, you know, they really don't like anyone with a gun. But I'll tell you, in my travels, I've been in California with my firearm and even Arizona, and I go to a game, you know, a football game or something out there. I will ask, hey, I'm a... you know, from out state, and I'm carrying, and, you know, here's my ID, et cetera, et cetera. Vast majority of them are extremely friendly. I've never encountered anything bad. But like I said, I haven't carried in New York or New Jersey, so God only knows.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like they're not even part of the country.
No, they're not.
It seems like sometimes. I've heard so many horror stories about New Jersey and New York specifically. But anyway, you know what, Terry, after, I talked to you on the phone, you sent me a text after you, because you listen to the show all the time and you listen to last week's show. So you said, hey, call me about LEOSA. So I called you up and I was still in Oregon at the time. And you told me, said, Skip, yeah, you can legally carry. You know, you heard the specifics of, you know, my credentials and all that. And so I just want everyone to know that I did carry in Oregon after talking to you because I felt a little more confident. You know, the only downside of the whole thing is I hate admitting, especially on air, that Joel Fulton was right and I was wrong. But, you know, Joel from Freedom Firearms in Battle Creek.
Yes.
Super guy, very knowledgeable. He was right. I was wrong. So he can revel in that now. But hey, there's nothing wrong with getting a second opinion on the law, especially
that is
when you're,
correct.
When you're talking
and like
to
you,
an attorney,
you mentioned,
correct?
Joel's a great guy. Joel's very knowledgeable. Anyone's ever over in the Battle Creek area, make sure you go to Freedom Firearms. Phenomenal people. And not only phenomenal people, very knowledgeable.
Yes. All right. Well, hey. Thank you very much, Terry,
Skip,
for being on the
Home
Defense Show today.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Okay, folks, we got a two-minute break. When we come back, I will give you the wrap-up. But in the meantime, I want you to go ahead and check out firearms legal protection, go to firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical. Check them out. And then also Center Shot Indoor Gun Range, where it's always a perfect 70 degrees. This is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're gonna love it.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 19 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom. Skip, it's time for the Armed America Report. What do you have this week?
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
A 31-year-old man who fended off and suffocated a mountain lion when it attacked him on a Colorado jogging trail described how he killed the big cat by stepping on its throat during a life-and-death struggle. Kaufman said he was running at the Horsetooth Mountain open space about 65 miles northwest of Denver when he heard pine needles rustling and turned his head only to come face to face with a young cougar. Kaufman raised his arms and shouted at the cougar, but it pounced and locked its jaw on his right wrist and clawed at his face. His attempts to halt the attack by stabbing the perpetrator with sticks and hitting it on the head with a rock were to no avail. Ultimately, he was able to pin the cougar down and put his foot on its neck and choke it till it stopped thrashing.
Thanks, Colonel. Mountain lion attacks are extremely rare, but when they happen, you need to know exactly what to do, and you need the courage and presence of mind to defend against the attack. There have been fewer than 20 cougar attack fatalities in North America over the last 100 years, according to the Colorado Parks and Wildlife website. There are between 4,500 and 5,500 mountain lions in Colorado, and since 1990, the state has seen 16 people injured and 3 killed from mountain lion attacks. Here are some ways you can defend against cougar attacks. 1. Recognize the signs of a pending attack. If a mountain lion is less than 25 yards away from you and is staring directly at you, it is preparing to attack. It will be positioned low to the ground with its tail twitching back and forth. 2. Back away slowly. Do not run, as this will trigger its predator instinct. 3. Make some noise. Yell loudly and forcefully. Don't sound afraid, but sound angry. 4. Make yourself larger. Stand up to full height, wave your arms, and even open your coat to make yourself look bigger than you really are. 5. Have a weapon to defend yourself. A firearm is the best tool for the job, but pepper spray or a knife may also work. If you don't have that, pick up a rock or large stick. 6. Protect your neck, throat, and head. This is where the lion will attack, and injury to these points of your body can cause you to bleed out quickly. And 7. After you survive the attack, report the sighting to the proper authorities. Most importantly, if you live in an area that is home to mountain lions, always carry a weapon and continually watch for signs of lions in the area. Despite his lack of a weapon, this runner did a great job defending himself, but it would have been a lot easier for him if he just had the right tool for the right job.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my new book, Concealed Carry for Christians. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and your family, and that includes people of faith. Our churches are not as safe as they used to be, and that's why I included chapters on forming church safety teams and stopping mass shooters. You can get Concealed Carry for Christians real easy.
Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Concealed Carry for Christians, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Concealed Carry for Christians by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. How about that, Terry Johnson from Firearms Legal Protection? Now you know why I chose Firearms Legal Protection to be a sponsor on the Home Defense Show. They really do care, and they really do want to protect you and your family. So, you know, I've checked out all the other places. There are some good companies out there, but FLP is the best. They're always looking for ways to protect you and your family against the criminal justice system. And boy, these red flag laws, it's an up-and-coming thing. There's just more and more states that are going to pass this. Now, speaking of more and more states, my home state of Michigan, Terry mentioned that Michigan has had a red flag bill introduced. So I thought I'd give you the info on that. We go to bearingarms.com. Our friend Tom Knighton over there. The article is titled, Michigan Democrats Introduce Red Flag Bill. Gun control laws follow trends. Whatever is trendy in gun control circles is the law that anti-gunners in state legislatures are going to push. Right now, one of the most popular measures being advanced is the so-called red flag laws. The idea is that guns get taken away from those who might be dangerous. Possibly for a number of reasons, but it might be because it lets them trot out the old line of, if you're going to do nothing wrong, you have nothing to fear. Now, Michigan has a red flag bill under consideration. Democrats in the Michigan House and Senate introduced bills on Thursday that would allow law enforcement officials to remove guns before a crisis happens as part of an extreme risk protection order. State Representative Robert Wittenberg says while previous red flag bills never successfully became law, he believes there is more bipartisan support for bills like this due to mass shootings that got national attention in the last year, such as the Parkland shooting. Quote, I look forward to working with all my colleagues in the legislature and the governor's office and throughout the state to make sure our communities are safe and residents get the help when they need it. State Senator Rosemary Bayer said on Thursday. You know, okay, so it's coming to Michigan. The bill is introduced. It's always failed in the past, but we had a Republican governor. Now we have a Democrat governor, and I believe she would sign this in a heartbeat if it made it to her. We don't have huge majorities in the State House and the State Senate anymore. As far as pro-gun, there's really only one pro-gun Democrat in the legislature now, as far as I know. That used to not be the case, but it is now. So this is a very real possibility that Michigan could pass a red flag law. I mean, let's face it, if Indiana can have a red flag law, so can Michigan. Indiana's gun laws are better than Michigan's, in my opinion. And if they can have one, we can have one. The problem is you don't have any due process, folks. You are guilty until proven innocent. And that's not what our country was founded on. But if we're not careful, we're going to end up with one of those red flag laws. You know, thank God FLP come up with this new coverage because us folks here in Michigan might need it. And there's, what, 16 states that already do need something like this. So this is the wave of the future. I think we need to fight it. Is it possible to have a red flag law that actually makes sense and protects due process? Yes, I think it is. The details of that would have to be hammered out. But, you know, you just don't take away someone's guns, deny them their civil rights, simply because the neighbor says, We feel unsafe when we're around this person. Or, you know, maybe you have a relative who doesn't like you or a relative who is anti-gun. And there are rabid anti-gun people out there, tons of them. Or maybe an ex-spouse who just wants to get one final dig by taking away your guns. This kind of stuff is happening all over the country, and it can happen here in Michigan. Why not? Hey, we have gun registration, right? Most states don't even have that. So, it's happening. We need to fight it. How can we fight it? Well, hey, you can start by going to SecondAmendmentMarch.com, 2AMarch.com, and clicking on, yes, I'm going to be attending the Second Amendment March on September 10 at the Lansing State Capitol. We had over 1,200 people last year. Boy, it'd be great to have 1,500 this year. If you don't make a good showing, then that will just embolden the anti-gunners here in Michigan. So we got to make this work. So go on SecondAmendmentMarch.com, go to our Facebook page and say, yeah, I'm going to be attending this event, and actually do attend the event. I will be there with all 14 of my books. I'll have my latest two, Concealed Carry for Christians, and then also Jack Pine Strong and Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry book, all of them. Okay, so I would love to speak with you guys face-to-face. And this is my one opportunity. I get to do this once a year. So I want to see you guys at Second Amendment March. You know, if you don't attend Second Amendment March, don't complain to me about, you know, gun registration or bad laws that got passed here in Michigan. You know, get off your butt. Take a day off work. It's really just half a day. And attend the march. Just get it. Do it. Get the job done. Let your voice be heard, because if you don't get involved politically, then you have no excuse, okay? Don't come crying to me when your rights get taken away because you couldn't take a half a day off work to go attend this march. Okay, end rant, end of sermon. Well, okay, folks, that about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. Until next week, remember, your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember, God, family, country, in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your friends and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coriel. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America. And attend the Second Amendment March, secondamendmentmarch.com. See you next week.
Thank you for joining us this week on The Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!